Why do you want to be in this business, Big April?
I think I have to remind myself. Let's say that. I have to remind myself why I'm doing it. And the reason is I couldn't see it any other way. I wouldn't leave this earth peacefully if I didn't try.
I was not expecting for you to come out and sing that song and remix it and kid. Man, what was that feeling like being up there, man, and doing your thing?
Oh my God, the feeling in itself, it's like what you want to do this for. You know, talking with you before that was comforting. So everything I do has to be, I don't want to say big, but it has to make some type of statement. This is why we need a platform. And not everybody needs to be talking. And not everybody needs to be an influencer. But not saying that I do, but I do believe in hard work. I do not believe in only cutting corners.
And he was holding that back.
He was not. No, he already knew. He had a special girl, and mm-hmm. I was true to him, and he was true to me for what I know. But for the most part, it was a good relationship. 2 years later, though, started getting rocky. I looked at the people, Men in Black. Not even the 5-0, not the NYPD. It was Men in Black. Okay. There was a little spot named Heavens right around the corner.
Oh, word? I probably met you there before. My homegirl Paulette used to work there.
Paulette?
Yeah.
That's really her name?
Yeah, that's her name.
Wow.
I don't know if that was her
Heaven's
name.
Yeah, everybody has names in the nightlife.
That's
how April actually came out. And that's why I believe in working hard. Like, I've always had two jobs and music. You know, a job and music and this. So I'm working out or, you know, I never stand still.
Decided to get you on, and you're singing today one of your pop songs, right? What's the name of the song? Let everybody know what you'll be performing today.
Un amor prohibido. ¿Cuál es el motivo? Pero nunca has sentido lo que yo siento contigo.
Hello, everyone, and welcome again, you beautiful people who love music, to the Angel of Words podcast. I am your host, Angel of Words, and you already know, if you really want to tap on that subscribe button on YouTube, you know what I mean, and follow us on all the podcast platforms, and Spotify has that video now, so definitely tap in to the Spotify video situation if you didn't know they have it, so, you know, subscribe to them and follow us at Angel of Words ENT on Spotify. Folks, go get Eyes of the Soul. It's at Barnes & Nobles. It's at Amazon.com. It's about a young kid serial killer hunter who hunts the baddest guys on the planet. The novel is out of control, written by Curtis Holmes, so you already know, go cop that. Shout out to Curtis Holmes. Also, my man, Brian J. Segura, BJS Photography, the sponsor, is in the building, hooking us up with some dope-ass website photos, because you know we always are trying to excel over here at the Angel of Words podcast. We can't stay stagnant. It's just not within us. And if you want to know what's going on with us at Angel of Words Entertainment, get your asses over to AOWENT.com, or you could follow us at Angel of Words ENT on all podcast platforms. Now on deck, on the Angel of Words podcast, we have Harlem's finest in the building, Big April, pulled up, wasn't a road trip, you know what I mean? Right around the corner, tight vibes,
but hey. Traffic, but we're good.
It's all right. You know, it was rush
hour.
Ain't
nothing but a thing. Got a nice little bench to whip us into the, you know, to the spot.
Hey, man, and I'm really excited to have you here, because when I first met you, was that Pereo saved my life. Yes. And I just want to give a shout out to Fantastico and B Sizzle.
Yes, shout out to Fantastico.
Doing their thing, man, with the Pereo events, you know, finding good talent to showcase in the Latino realm. So,
he's definitely doing that.
You know what I'm saying? So definitely shout out to them boys. I hope they continue. It's always nice collaborating or partnering with them, whatever we're doing. So definitely shout out to them boys at Pereo Save My Life, which is where I met Big April singing a freaking Mexican balada, which I was not expecting, Big April. I'm going to keep it 100. I thought you was going to come out there on some ratchet stuff. I don't know why I thought that, but, you know, it's unfortunate. Tú sabes. I was like, here we go. Ski-woo. You already know. I was like, we got some sexy red on some Latino wave over here.
Period.
But no, you went out there and sang your ass off. You know what I mean? For lack of a better term, Big April.
Yes.
Man, talk about it, man. What was that feeling like being up there, man, and doing your thing?
Oh, my God. The feeling in itself, it's like what you want to do this for. And I don't know. I loved being up there. Everyone was asking me if I was going to be nervous. And to be quite honest with you, I think I was pushing that feeling down and I was trying not to concentrate on like being nervous, but more of like, this is what I want to do. Like, it's about time. Like, so F that. Like, I'm here to like kill it. F the nervousness. Like, this is what I do. This is what I'm going to do. So it just came so natural after I got up there. I was like, let's get this over with. Like, let's just do it. And, you know, talking with you before that was comforting because, I don't know, you have that charisma. You just made me feel more comfortable. I was not prepared. I told you that. I'm like, I knew there was an interview, but I didn't, like, prep for it or anything. I was so focused on getting the stage presence and, you know, my creativity and my, you know, my thing together that I did not prep for the interview questions. But when you told me what you told me right before, it just made everything feel better. And I was like, yeah, I could do your podcast. It's going to be interesting to talk with you and get into that. But the song that I did, the first song, that genre just touches my soul on another level. And it's not Dominican. It's not New York. It's a Mexican, you know.
Balada, yeah, it's, you know. It was
what's it called?
Peso Pluma, right?
Peso Pluma and Eslabón.
Mm-hmm.
And the genre is actually corrido tumbado. So that's kind of where, that's where my inspiration is actually stemming from right now. And, you know, it's very unique genre, but I feel like it keeps me grounded, connected to what music is supposed to be. Like, it's supposed to move you. And of course, even the ratchet stuff moves you. It makes you want to dance and makes you want to get crazy and makes you want to drink and have fun. But I think there's a more important part of music that I think we're missing today. We're not missing, but is a lack of.
I'm not going to lie to you. You look like a Mexican pop star. I watch a lot of Univision and Telemundo with my mom, you know, always tapping with my mom, always. I'm a big family person.
Yeah,
and
I
like,
see you have Don Francisco back here.
Well, as you can see, all right, so you know I'm not capping. I could totally see that because I was really shocked, Big April. I'm not going to hold you. I was not expecting for you to come out and sing that song and remix it. And
que le parece esa mora?
I was like, what? I'm telling you, it's been a minute where like I had to stop what I was doing to be like, yo, pero qué carajo está pasando aquí esta? You know what I'm saying? So you know what I mean? So I really
That's
appreciated
so funny.
That. And we're very excited to get you on.
I'm
and
so
you're singing
excited.
Today one of your pop songs, right? What's the name of the song? Let everybody know
I
what you'll be performing
your
today.
Look.
I saw your look. A Spanish English kind of poppy song with
Jersey
swag
Club.
To it. Yeah.
It's like a little Jersey Club, Spanish English, and that's exactly what the hell I want to do here. Like, I have two worlds. Like, I grew up in New York. I'm Spanish speaking. My first language is actually Spanish.
Okay. Una vaina bien.
Una vaina bien.
Okay.
Bien heavy, sabe. Pero a mí se me sale, comes out a little bit Spanglish. Now that I'm getting older, I'm in a corporate world, you know, but.
Yeah, you don't use the language often.
I don't use it as much.
Yeah.
So when I speak to natural Spanish speaking people, I sound like I'm not Dominican. That's number one. I sound like I'm from, they just point me to where they think I'm from, Puerto Rican, Colombian, everything sometimes, but Dominican, I guess. Especially because I guess my skin complexion or...
You have a universal Latin look.
Yeah.
You could be from any country.
I feel like that's it.
You really
can
be. I can see why they say
that. Yeah.
I can see why they say that for sure.
I want to bring that energy, but with like, who the hell I really am? Because, hello, I grew up in Harlem my whole entire life.
Yeah.
And I'm from, you know, I drive now, so them four wheels take me all throughout the boroughs in a day. So,
I hear that.
I pick up things from Queens. I got people from Brooklyn. People from Brooklyn came out to fucking Harlem that day that I was performing. So I want to bring that real New York energy to whatever I'm doing, whether it's Spanish, Spanglish, English, rapping, singing, everything.
And we're going to discuss that, but I want to bring this up, right? Mm-hmm. Because now that we're talking about this music thing and all this stuff, and I'm like, Snoop put out a post saying, like, I only made $45,000 off a billion streams. Like, you know, why do you want to be in this business, Big April?
That's a good question. I feel like sometimes I think about that, too, because where I'm at is like the tip of the iceberg. Like, I'm just starting.
You're brand spanking new on the scene.
Brand spanking new. Yeah. I just came out the womb, like, you know, basically. Facts. And I think I battle with that a little. Not even battle, but I think I have to remind myself. Let's say that. I have to remind myself why I'm doing it. And the reason is I couldn't see it any other way. I wouldn't leave this earth peacefully if I didn't try. And I'm not doing this to be the biggest, even though I am the biggest. But
so they call you Big April, you know?
Yes, Big April. I mean, it started off as April.
Yeah.
And then
I like Big April.
And so then, it's
Harlem,
like
Harlem, you know?
Big April. You know, people had a couple, you know, differences with the big part of April, but I had to really sit down and think about that as well. Why am I doing this? My name, Big April. So I had to tie all of it together. The bottom line is why I'm doing this is because it's just in me. I couldn't see me doing anything else. I didn't do hair. I can't do nails. I can't, like, photography. I can't just pick up. I tried to do lashes at one point, and it's just not in me.
By the way, yours is on fleek today, girl. She came ready to go. You got to step your game up in 2024. You coming on this motherfucker now.
Yes.
We're hard act to follow,
because,
you know?
I am Big April.
Yeah, facts. No, I feel
so
that, man.
Everything I do has to be, I don't want to say big, but it has to make some type of statement. And I want people to remember that. Like, oh, shit. Big April gonna be there. You know, she gonna do something big. She gonna do, you know, I want that to be the brand, Big. Go big or go home. So I'm also doing this not just to be the biggest Beyonce or Adele or, you know, anybody else. I'm doing this and I want to portray that you can be talented and be successful in your own way, because success is different to different people. I already feel successful in this music industry. And I, like I said, this is the tip of the iceberg, but I do feel like I'm already there. Why? Because success to me in this is just having that one person play my song because they love it. Or my song brought them back to a certain time, 2023, November, that Thanksgiving, you know, or that time in the world. So that is why I'm doing this. I want to bring people back to a certain time in their life. I want them to say, oh, I remember when that song came out. My life was this way, and that inspired me, or that song really got me through it. That's what this success is for me in music. Mm. It's not just, oh, I bought a Lambo and a Rolls Royce, and I got this and diamonds, and that's nice. I no doubt with the brain that I have will get there, but it's really, like, for the music. It's for the culture. Like, I want people to play Big April. They're like, nah, this girl right here.
You
want to
resonate with people.
She got me through that time. Her story motivated me. Her presence did something to me. And I think I have that naturally. And I'm not trying to toot my own horn or anything. But all those little things throughout my entire life led me here. Because I'm like, if I have a gift that God gave me, why not share it? Eventually, it's going to lead me to where I'm supposed to be, whether that's Beyonce or that's just, you know, Big April from Harlem, but she's doing shows every month. She's doing shows every week. You know, she got her fan base, you know, and we love her. Like, we want to come see her. She's one of us. And I am. And that's why I'm doing this. The money from the music might not be the best right now, but I have faith that with the right team and the right tactics, we can make it big. The streaming world might not be it, but the shows, the merch, you know, certain organizations that will form from this could bring in the cash. But I'm not even so trying to be so super focused on that, because money is just it's a paper, it's a currency, but it's more about making that, you know, impact in people's lives, because that alone is going to drive people to you.
I felt that. And I saw that firsthand, because with all due respect, you are a brand spanking new artist. And the first day we ever saw you, you pulled up in a Sprinter with a videographer.
Period.
And then and the turnaround time on the video, which is very impressive as well, came out within like two days after the event, showcasing, yes, you know, the whole situation, you know, a nice little, it was like music video vibes to it.
Yes.
And that's why I was like, oh, this lady gets it. This lady understands, you know, and, you know, not everybody has the same type of resources. I don't know what you do for a living. You know what I'm saying? That's none of my business.
We can talk about that.
All right, but yeah, you know, but I'm sure that you're working. You're clearly working. You know what I'm saying? And you're investing in yourself right away, being over the top. And the professionalism was on point. You know, the first interview, like you probably were a little bit blindsided. I tried to tell everybody that was going to be there. You know,
I felt
bad because I called you by your government name, because, you know, your boy Fantastico knows you from back in the day. So he was telling me like, yo, she's pulling up by your government. But I'm like, yo, but I never saw her on the fly.
Even the DJ was like, Paola. I was like, oh my God. And that's cool. I don't mind.
Yeah.
I don't mind at all. But yeah, Big April.
Yeah, but there was a certain, you know, professionalism, elegance that you brought to the situation.
You came
out in costume. You remind me of like a young Edie Chacon, you know? You know what I'm saying? Like it was like
I thought you were gonna say Selena.
Oh no. You know what I mean? You have more how do you say, like, Selena had to build her pizzazz. Like, you know, she was a little like shyer growing up. You know what I mean?
That's definitely true.
You came out over the top. You know what I'm saying? So I really respected that, you know. So, you know, that's dope, because you really do. I mean, I feel like if you're going to be an artist and you're going to try to make some shockwaves in the system, mm-hmm, you got to be moving like that. You know what I'm saying? And you work, you know, a regular job to finance your situation. Talk about it, because a lot of people don't want to work in order to finance their dreams. So what makes you want to do that?
Let's talk about this.
Go ahead, Mama.
This is why we need a platform, and not everybody needs to be talking, and not everybody needs to be an influencer. But not saying that I do, but I do believe in hard work. I do not believe in only cutting corners, because that's cool if you have some type of shortcut or you have some type of leverage or you are an influencer and you don't need to work. That's all valid. But why is it not valid or cool or whatever it is anymore to work hard? Do you got time? Because we about to get
into
it. You got time?
Because
we about to get into it.
I was like, oh, this about to get real.
Yeah,
we about to get real
because this is like mama.
Dale que tú puedes.
Yeah. Dale que tú puedes. Vete a trabajar. Vete a trabajar. And don't come home without that bread. Now, let me stop. Yes, that's the model. But let me take a sip, too. This tea is bomb.
I'm glad you enjoyed it.
Now, this tea is really it. All right. What do I do for a living? I'm a surgical technologist. So, yeah. Wow. What's a surgical technologist? So, I assist in surgeries, not as a doctor or RN. It was real intensive program that I did 2 years. It's like a vocational training, I think the name is. And I did a specific training in being a surgical technologist, which we set up the OR, operating room, for any case, that, you know, is going to go down.
I have a hospital background, so yeah. You're good. But we could explain it though for the people that don't know.
So yeah, you know. Yeah, so have you ever met a surgical tech?
I have.
You probably have a few friends. Yeah, we're always cool, right?
Yeah, pretty bad. I can't complain. I don't have any complaints with surgical techs.
Yeah, so that's what I do for a living. Yeah. Right now, I am doing it as an independent contractor. So that helps me be a little bit more financially free in a sense.
That's interesting. You can do that as an independent contractor?
Of course. You can be an independent contractor, any position.
Interesting.
As far as medical fields.
I didn't know that.
See?
That's news to me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you.
If you have a title, let's say medical assistant or anesthesia technologist or whatever, you got a certificate, you did the
X-ray
training.
X-ray tech, whatever kind
X-ray
of tech.
X-ray tech. Yeah. You can do it as an independent contractor, which in today's world is known as travel nursing.
Copy.
But it's not just travel nursing. You can do local contracts. You're just an independent professional being. So, copy. Yeah, there's certain, you know, politics with that. But at the end of the day, I traded in my benefits for cash. So everything is on me if I want, you know, not to get too involved in that. But yeah, if you want certain medical insurances, whatever, you pay out of pocket. But I traded in my medical, all that stuff for money. Because let's be real. I'm at a time right now in my life where I don't think I need that. So what I need is more the financial, you know.
Stability. Copy.
So people don't tell you that, though. Mm-hmm. You don't go into work and people tell you that. But that's what's important about seeing something through. And I learned that as obviously I aged and got older, that when you start something, you know, you have all these ideas and blah, blah, blah. Like I got into music and I'm like, I have a lot of noise, but I don't know what's really... You know, but when you get into the world, doors start to open. And I think that that's very important to know as a young person growing up. When you start something, see it through. You know, you got a job or you went to school, see it through. You don't know what doors are going to open for you once you go that way. And that's why I believe in working hard. Like, I've always had two jobs and music. You know, a job and music and this, so I'm working out. Or, you know, I never stand still. And I'm not there yet, but I feel it coming. Ain't no way. If you got this, you got that, you got that. It's like you have an equation, a math equation. You got this, you got that, you got adding.
It's a lot of masculine energy coming, though, from that side, Big April.
Masculine?
Yeah, no, because my thing is like, because, you know, that's what I'm saying. Like, you work at heart. You're outworking a lot of dudes. Like, you know what I'm saying? I'm being completely honest. That's like, that you're speaking like I would speak to one of my dudes that's a real man. You know what I mean? That's, you know.
I'm glad you said that, because me and my homegirl, she does the same thing as me, independent contractor. She actually makes way more money than me. Mm-hmm. She got 2 full-time jobs. My girl Glenda's, shout out to you, because she actually put me on to being a surgical technologist.
Dope.
She put me on. I was going through something crazy in my life. I lost it all. I was 22 years old, and I thought I had my life situated. I had a man who loved me, took care of me. I didn't have to do nothing. He even had, like, a housekeeper and everything. I didn't even have to cook or clean. We ate out, had a cleaning lady. Like, I was, at 20 years old, I was, like,
was kept.
Good.
Yeah.
Well kept.
Okay.
I had it all.
Okay.
You know.
This is very interesting. I don't know where we're headed, but
I know. That's why I'm like,
let's talk about it. Okay, this is interesting. Yeah, because
I have a story to fucking tell.
Because I you know, I always, you know, with all due respect, I tell my sisters, find that situation all the time.
What?
That situation that you came out of, that you're not in anymore. Like, you know what I mean?
That's how they are, or
No, find yourself a man that's gonna take care of you like that.
That's their motto.
That's my motto towards my sisters.
That's your motto.
Of course.
I mean, and that's great. I'm still looking for a man.
I don't want my sister to be, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not even looking for a man. But
my thing is, I don't want my sisters, you know, being 40, you know what I'm saying?
And working like a dog.
You feel me? Yeah, like, no. You know what I mean? Like, I would want them to be in a nice, you know, relationship where it's healthy.
A man who takes care of
that
them.
That cares about
that
them.
Provides.
That provides. And, you know, is not abusive. No domestic
Absolutely.
Violence. No emotional violence. You feel me? Like, a person that's just there really, you know, a solid Rock, who's just real chill and, you know, handles his business when he can handle his business. You dig?
Absolutely. And I think that's important in a female's life.
Mm-hmm.
Besides father, mother, the next is that mm-hmm. stable partner. Because in today's world, you know, we have women, men, whatever.
Yeah.
But a stable partner. If you're like the femme or whatever, the girl in the relationship, you need that manly energy. That, like, I don't know why, like, but we are made that way genetically.
Yeah, I think it's innate. It's genetically, you know, we're
genetically we're the mothers, we're the caregivers, we're the ones who carry the baby. So it's important to have that stability at home. You can't do it all. You can't. As an artist, I can't do it all. As a surgical technologist, I can't do it all. I have a team. In that OR, I have a team. The surgeon himself has a team. He got me, and I'm, what, 2 years? But he still relies on me. It doesn't matter how small or whatever. It's chess, not checkers, boo. We got pawns. We got knights. We got
bishops, yeah.
Bishops, everything.
The queen and the king. Facts. The pawns. Facts.
And I'm the motherfucking queen. I'm not the king sometimes. But yes.
I could see that you're the king sometimes, Big April.
It's chess, not checkers, baby. Yes. Everything is B-I-G. You see? Now you get it.
It's all starting
now
to come
you get
to
it.
Me, you
now you get it. Why it has to be B-I-G. Like, it couldn't be no... And then, it's so funny because I had thought about it. Like, should I be big? But you know what? Let's do it.
I fucked with it. Let's I like do it, actually. It. I think it's fire.
I don't even want to change it no more. I thought about changing. I'm like, maybe down the line I'll change it. Maybe if I get signed and the label's like, you know what? We like Big April, but maybe April something. Maybe
it's only three syllables. It's not that bad.
Big April.
That's four syllables?
No, that's three.
Oh, okay. Big April. I'm like, yo, I almost felt dumb for a second. I'm like, am I wilding? But
nah,
yeah,
that
no,
sounds good.
Yeah.
I don't know. It has a ring to it.
It has
it.
A great
like
ring
it.
To it. I fudge with it. I'm going to be honest.
As long as my persona matches the name.
That's a fact. Yeah. And you're over the top with everything, which is great, man. Look at you right now, man. You came ready to show everybody on the podcast with Tommy. And she's performing tonight, right? You're performing. I'm excited about
that. Yes.
What's the song again?
I saw your look.
I saw your look, man. Big
I
Able
saw
Woody.
Your look.
I saw
and
your
it
look.
Had me shook.
Mm.
That's the first time. Yeah. But no. What we were talking about, hard work.
Yeah.
And back to that, I want to say a little bit of my story.
Go ahead.
So
the floor is yours.
When my life fell apart, I was 22 years old. And my life was already, you know, you're 19, 20. You're kind of like, I'm in the college. I don't know if this is what I want to do. I also was a waitress in a French cuisine restaurant, very like high end. And I was always used to like making money. Like I thank God I had that little star when I was born, because I always believed like if you have will or you just know where to get in, you got it. You got charisma, you got this, you got hard work, you're good, you're gonna be fine. And I quit school. I quit school. I quit my job. I had like a whole epiphany right before I was 20. Now, when I turned 20, I was bartending out here in Queens.
Okay.
There was a little spot named Heavens right around the corner.
Oh, word? I probably met you there before. My homegirl Paulette used to work there.
Paulette?
Yeah.
That's really her name?
Yeah, that's her name.
Wow.
I don't know if that was her.
Yeah,
because
see, now everybody has names in the nightlife.
That's a
so
fact.
That's how April actually came out.
Could have been Alejandra. I would imagine. That's probably
Shorty hit you with the Alejandra.
Yeah. No, man.
I'm dead. That's funny as hell.
The owner was this Greek guy, ball guy.
Yeah.
I used to go on there too. Oh, that's a good time.
Yeah.
Heavens. Used to work at Heavens. What year is this?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
This is really a side note off the chains.
Damn near 10 years ago.
Word? That's when I used to be in there 10 years
ago.
Yeah,
that's when it was lit.
Yeah. Oh,
they had
shit.
Money Mondays.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
oh, interesting.
Yeah, I rotated positions. So okay. Sometimes we'd be behind the bar, sometimes I'd be opposite of the bar. But that's another influence in my life, the nightlife.
Oh,
so I did school, nightlife, and now I'm doing my music shit for real. And those three things is this product. And when I was 20 years old, I met this guy in Heavens. He turned out to be this amazing guy. like so amazing, so different. He was
met him at Heaven's boo.
I met him at Heaven's. That was my little angel. Oh, that's always no. what I say. I met my little angel at Heaven's. Damn, it's crazy. He's actually doing time right now.
That's wild, man.
Yeah. So what happened? Long story short, because I do get sidetracked a lot.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It's okay. You got the jokes. I'm here for it.
You already know the vibes, man.
Yeah, that's okay.
It's because I know that place so well. You know, I used to chill with the owner. I used to chill with the owner. And wow. and you know, he had a little, I mean, it's a long story. It's not my podcast. I'm not being interviewed.
But we are having a conversation.
Let's just say there was a time in my life, right, where I was, you know, how do you say, I had a lot of fun friends. You know, and they had a lot of fun jobs. And I lived around the corner and I lived in the...
So you've always lived here?
I've lived here for a long time, for at least 15 years.
Wow. Yeah, this is a good, great spot to live.
So you know what I mean? And I worked at the airport at LaGuardia, and a lot of those girls that used to bartend at LaGuardia used to work at places like Heaven's or Cityscapes I'm not going to continue all mentioning spots. These locations, but if you know, you know.
But I knew the owners, I would go with the owners,
you know what I mean? So you know what I mean? I had dinner with that guy, Matt. I think, we even had a family dinner for Christmas. I saw the Super Bowl. When Tom Brady threw in his, I mean, when Russell Wilson threw the interception with the owner of Heaven.
See, you lost me at the interception.
Yeah, I know, but yeah.
You lost me there.
That's just like, you know, that's how in deep I was at Heaven's for a little while.
Yeah, no, that Heaven's was my spot.
Yeah.
And so I dropped out of school, quit my job, started the nightlife.
Okay.
And I'm like, I don't know what I'm doing, but we're going to do it.
Yeah.
Then doors started opening.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
You start if you're something, aware, doors will
if you're
open.
Aware, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I'm very much in tune.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so anything I do, I always ask the universe or God, whatever you want to think, for permission. So, I mean, at that time, I wasn't that woke. I was just kind of rolling with the punches. I had influences, obviously. You know, everybody's like, oh, I got this friend. You know, I have friends that was like, oh, I'm doing this or she's doing that. So that's how that nightlife journey started. Now, I never became too big in the nightlife world because... my parents are very religious. So it was
Jehovah's
like,
Witnesses, Christians, Pentecostals?
Christians, Baptists, okay. Regular okay. Christians. Not too like okay. heavy.
I come from a very religious family religious, myself. So
but they are very much spiritually woke.
Nice.
And I appreciate that. I'm very spiritually woke.
That's great.
But I love that they also gave me my space to be who I was.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So I met this guy. It's always like, I met this guy. He became my partner, and I quit everything. I was just like his housewife, basically. And not even, because we were like traveling the world. He had a house in LA, house in New York. So we were just like bi-coastal. I was living like the rapper life in real life.
Yeah.
Except, you know, we didn't have the millions to be like buying stuff, but we had money enough to fly back and forth all the time. First class, you know. Business class, whatever, go shopping whenever we wanted. It was like a decent life. So at 20 years old, 21, you're like, I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, I'm good. This is it. This is, I'm done. I'm about to marry him. Yeah, like, you know, he gave me a ring right away. Like, so I'm like, oh, this is it for me.
My man wasn't playing. He was holding that down.
He was not. No, he already knew he had a special girl and I was true to him and he was true to me for what I know. But yeah. For the most part, it was a good relationship. 2 years later, though, started getting rocky. His life was taking over him. And he made a big mistake that led him to 15 years in jail. So he's still currently in jail. And I was actually involved in that situation. So when the cops came knocking, guess who was home? Me. Little old me. And what happened from then? Because, you know, it's a lot going on in my head. But when the cops came knocking on the door, something in me clicked. It's like, I had to save him. Because I know I didn't do anything. So what are you really going to get me for?
Mm-hmm.
I knew they was coming for him. And my first instinct was protecting him. So when they came knocking on the door, I knew not to open. So he was still in the crib. So I was telling him, like, you know, they're here. And we had ordered takeout. But I always knew to check the people, even if I knew who was at the intercom.
Yeah, I already know Harlem vibes.
Harlem vibes.
You already know.
I'm not trusting nothing.
Yo no me confío.
No, I'm not trusting nothing. So, see, but God was always behind it because I could have just opened that door. It could have been that one time that I'm like, oh, that's the Chinese. And the Chinese man answered. He said, takeout or Chinese food, whatever. Chinese food, that's what they say. That's what he said. So why did I look through the people? It's just something, feel me, divinely guided. I looked through the people, men in black. Not even the 5-0, not the NYPD. It was men in black. And instead of shitting myself, I held it together. And I was like, nah, it's go time. And he was in the crib. And I told him, I always had an escape plan. We lived on the first floor. All the windows were barred. So I said, if God forbid there was a fire in here, how the hell I'm going to get out of here? There was one window. We had a 3-bedroom. And we had one window unbarred. It was like the closet in the back. But I knew that was the window. If I ever had to fucking run out, that was the window. So I told him, get what you need to get and leave. I got it.
That's it. Grab the bag and go. That's it.
Stay at the door. Leave.
Yeah.
So when he left, now I'm like, what the fuck am I going to do? I can't leave through that window because they're going to know we left.
Yeah.
I can't give them the fucking drop. I had to deal with it. So I put the chain on the door, open the door. They're like, is Ricardo Daniel here? I'm like, nah, I don't know what you're talking about.
And that's not his real name, by the way, folks.
He's already in jail.
Okay.
Don't even matter.
All right.
It don't even matter.
Let me use my male intuition.
Go look him up. He's a real nigga.
This ain't Vlad TV. You know what I'm saying?
Shit. It don't matter. Ahead, this ain't First 48.
That's a fact.
We already did that. Now it's time for the story to come out.
All right. Go ahead. Go ahead, girl. Your thing.
That just came out so natural. It's all right.
It's all right. It's okay. You know, you talk with AOW. Nah. That happens.
It already happened so long ago. They're not about to reopen that case.
Copy.
That shit is said and done.
Copy. I bet. So what ended up happening to you, though?
What happened to me?
Yeah. Because you're an accessory.
I'm an accessory. No, fucking accessory. I'm on the news, honey.
Yeah, you're aiding and abetting.
This was before I came on in the news.
Yeah.
I came out on the news. They had an article with my face on it. They had a clip of me and him together.
Yeah.
And I'm like, my life is over. It don't matter if I didn't do anything.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers don't care.
Yeah,
they about to throw me under the jail.
Vibes. Facts.
Yeah. They're going to throw me under the jail and that's it. And I genuinely thought I was going to serve 5 years. Genuinely. I'm like, that's it. I'm about to do 5 years. Maybe I'll do 2 or 1 with good behavior or I'll do some program. It's my first time. I already had this shit calculated in my head. But when they're like at my door, imagine this 22-year-old girl who don't, I'm not really in the streets for real. Like, you know, I dibble and dabble in the nightlife, but I never like really was involved. Like my family are normal 9-to-5 people. So I was never like talk to police a certain way or never had any clue how to deal with people really in the streets. It just came, I guess, as, you know, with time. But at that moment, the police is in front of my door, and they're like, oh, what's your name? I gave them my middle name. And they're like, oh, so you're not Paola? And right there, I knew they had me. I'm like, I don't know what these people know, but they know. So I was like, I'm not answering any of your questions. Come back with a warrant. I closed the door, called one of my homegirls at the time, who her brother's a lawyer. She was like one of the smartest friends at the time that I had, so I knew to call her. She was like, girl, that's not your house. You can just leave. And that shit was like, you're right. This ain't my house. Like, what are you going to do? Stop me?
Yeah.
I didn't even have to pack. I already had my bag ready with all my important information because this was my boyfriend's house for real. You know, we're not married, but at 22, when you're living with your boyfriend, you think it's your house.
Facts, yeah.
But in reality, it wasn't. I didn't have no name. I didn't have no bills coming to the house. I didn't have no mail come to the house. I was just living there with him. So I knew I was fine. So I grabbed my little Gucci bag that he got me or whatever. And I had all my important documents. And I had my dog at the time. His name is Bentley. I had a big pit. And I think that's what saved me. Because when I was walking out of the house, there's no cameras. Like, I was living in the West Village on Christopher Street.
But, oh, fine.
Yeah. Yeah, no, we was living the life. I'm telling you. I was like little Sarah Jessica Parker.
I used to work out there for a really long time back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, that's a fire area. I worked
out Houston and Thompson back in the day.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What, boutique or something?
No, no, I worked at Arturo's restaurant.
What? Turo?
Arturo's, right there.
I think.
The corner of Houston and Thompson. Probably waited on you before. Who knows?
I mean, I never ate there. Yeah, for sure. I never ate.
Yeah. All right, cool.
But yeah.
Yeah.
But that's the area.
Okay.
So this is like downtown police we're talking about. Yeah. We're not talking about the hood police. We're talking about like financial district, New York police people. Yeah. Like they not playing.
Yeah.
That's why they coming in the black suit. Yeah. And so I'm shook. Like, I'm so shook, but something in me, it's like that fight and fright, you know, fight. Mm-hmm. Like, it was fight time. I was on go. And I grabbed my bag. It had all my important documents, social ID, everything that I needed. So I just grabbed my bag. I grabbed my dog and I left. I didn't even think about, mind you, we had shit in that apartment that I don't want to mention, but shit that would have put me under the jail or him under the jail forever. So in my head, you could only believe what's going on. I'm like, my life is over. Like, it's a black hole. Like, it's over. And I turned myself in. Now, I'm like, I don't know where my man is at. This man is probably, who knows, in a little fucking Yola going back to DR.
Yo, facts.
I'm under the jail.
Man's in Morocco. So, you know,
my man is going, rolling his blunt and crossing the seas, seven seas and shit. I don't know. But I'm thinking, like, what am I going to do? Like, did I just trade places with this man?
Fact.
But that's how much I loved him. And I felt like we had that bond. I don't want to get too away because we're like talking about that story. We're going to take the whole freaking hour talking about that. But that point in my life, obviously, like, how big is that?
It's a big epiphany moment, a big
it changed my whole life. Yeah. It changed my whole life. I was in bookings. They didn't take me to Rikers.
Okay.
But I was in bookings for 2 days and I had 2 days to think. And in those 2 days, I almost fought a crackhead, sleeping on the floor, like no food. Like, I'm talking to my family on the jail phone. Like, y'all need to just get that bail money. Fuck the lawyer. Yeah. Get the bail money because I need to get out of here.
Yeah. But it's your first time offense. You're going to get released on your own recognizance. You need the lawyer to get there, though.
Yeah, but I have no idea what I'm saying.
Been arrested a few times, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I had no clue.
Unfortunately, you know what I'm saying?
I had no clue.
That nigga there right away.
Yeah, unless you have friends or family that's been dealing with that. This is like the first time anything like this has ever happened to like me or my family. Like, it's like, oh my God, mija. You know, that whole thing. And that was like the reason why I said that shit scared me straight. I got out because the judge was a nice person.
Mm-hmm.
God somehow worked his magic and they literally ROR'd me. But the reason why I didn't think they would ROR me was because, number one, this was a shooting. So 4 people got shot, not just 1, 4. And it was on 14th Street, downtown Manhattan, 7th Ave, like downtown. And we had drugs in the house. Obviously, like, he was involved in that he started getting more involved in that as, you know, this time during that whole thing happening.
Has that traumatized you? Like, it moving forward? Like,
it's,
you know what
definitely
I mean? That must have really affected you, man. Like,
you think?
For real. Yeah, I mean, no, real talk.
No,
though.
Real
like,
talk. On like, a mental note, like, that's what I'm saying. Really...
Like, you know, that you must have, you know, like, have you seen a therapist about it? Like, have you, you know, does music help you with
music definitely
does music
helps
help
me.
You, you know, with the therapy, you know, aspect of it, you know, mentally to keep yourself calm and, you know, help you move forward in life and shit?
100%.
All right, that's great.
I mean, I have not seen a therapist at all.
I think you should.
I don't.
We don't know. No, we're all no cap.
That's
though.
So
no respect,
funny.
You know,
no, I believe in therapy. I
you know what I mean?
I condemn people, and I never done it.
Because it's gonna be hard to move forward in life if you don't deal with that unaided trauma.
No, I definitely have unaided trauma, you know? But I'm ready to before I get rid of it or release the trauma. Mm-hmm. I'm gonna do that with my music.
I
have so much more trauma to talk about, but the point of saying all that or that story, is to say like we all have stories. We all have bad moments that shape us. But it's what you do with that. Because that shit scared me so straight. I could have went back to the nightlife, right? I could have went back to the nightlife, met somebody else, and forgot about him. Mm-hmm. But I didn't do that. I didn't say I didn't go back to the nightlife. I went back to school. So when all that shit happened and I got released and they ordered me, I knew God was like, yo, you're not done. Because I could have left you in there. There was drugs in the house. Fentanyl, babe. Fentanyl. People do fucking forever for that. And I'm not talking about a little bag.
Yeah, that's time. That's the new crack.
Exactly. And when the lawyer saw me, he was like, 99% fentanyl. And I was like, do we have a defense? Like, do I have anything that would help me? And he's like, yeah, that you work. Because at the time, I was like, I need to do something with myself, right? Because obviously, it's in me, not on me. That hard work was always in me. I think I was just having a moment, you know, of like just enjoying life. But eventually, I was like, nah, I got to do something. Even if it's a little job, like I need to have some type of routine. Get up in the morning, make some money. That always makes you feel better. So I was like working. And like I said, I've always been divinely guided. It was probably God who put me in that job because I was only working that job 3 months. 3 months out of 2 years. And then that happens. It was like my lawyer said, that is what's saving you.
Yeah.
The fact that you actually have a job, because that's showing you're not married to this man. They don't know how long you've been with this man. You could have just been at the wrong place at the wrong time. That don't have anything to do with you. You're not tied to that house. You're not tied to anything. They know what they found is not yours. You know what I'm saying? 22-year-old girl, like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, where you getting that work from? Like, give me a break.
And then a lot. They were, that was a private lawyer who saw me once I was already in the bookings. But before, like I said, my friend at the time had a brother who was a lawyer, but he was a public defense lawyer. Mm. So when I first turned myself in, I turned myself in with him. And he told me, he was like, oh, they're going to charge you with a B felony. They're going to charge you as a kingpin. I was like, I'm definitely doing time. It's over. It's over. I didn't see the light of day. And literally, we rode the fucking train there. So you could imagine, I'm like riding the train to my death sentence.
Nervous as hell. That's a bad feeling. I'm going to turn yourself in. It's the worst thing in the
world. He was like, what do you want to eat? And I was like, get me a burger.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even finish that fucking burger. I was like shaking. And I had my pit bull in the office because I literally just ran from the police.
Yeah.
Like, it was just so much going on. But I told my family, I don't want that lawyer. I don't want him. Like, he's talking about B felony. They charged me as a kingpin. He ain't doing shit.
Yeah,
because he know, like, you a family friend. You're supposed to know that's not the life I've lived. Like, you known me since I was a little girl. Don't feed me what they telling you. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you about
I
to fight.
I want somebody that's going
to
fight for me.
Yeah,
facts,
tell me
bro.
What you about to come up, like, with the
what's
hands.
What's
like,
the game
going?
Plan? Word.
So that's the first thing I asked that private lawyer. The first thing I asked that private lawyer was like, do we have a defense? Because that's all I was thinking about. Like, how are you going to get me out of this?
Yeah.
How are you going to prove that that's not me? And got in front of the judge. Yo, the judge did not mention shit about the fentanyl. He just said the weed.
Oh, right.
And from that moment, I rode the train with my family back uptown. And I just wanted to kiss the concrete. And I just was like, God, I know you have a plan for me. Like, you got me away from that shit with nothing. Not a fucking ticket. Not even a
fine. Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Not even, what's that
not
called?
Not a violation. Nothing.
When they, like, do the public service.
Yeah, community service.
Not even community service. Nothing.
Yeah, you were released.
I was just released. Like, how? I just came out on the news.
I love it.
I came out on the news. They had articles. Like, they had detectives coming to my aunt's house. Because when I went on the run, I didn't go straight home. I'm like, I know they're going to go to my address. Mm-hmm. So I went somewhere else. They found that house. How? I don't fucking know. But these motherfuckers is tied it everywhere. Everywhere. So you could only imagine the shit that I'm thinking. Like, they got me. It's over. This nigga's already across the world, not caring about me. And I'm left to deal with this. An innocent bystander. Basically, I mean, I wasn't completely innocent. I was with him. But at the end of the day, I didn't commit any of these crimes myself. So I was just like, an unlucky person or a person who has some shitty karma would have definitely been under the jail for at least the drugs that was found in the house. Because they found me in the house. So it's like, why not just take me?
You got over.
I got over. And that shit right there changed my life. I started my surgical technology school. I did 2 years right away expeditiously. No summer break, no winter break, no nothing. I went straight 2 years, no break. I didn't vacate. I vacationed 2-3 days whenever I could. But I was working the nightlife 3 days a week, in school 5 days a week, waking up at 6-7 o'clock in the morning to go to clinicals. Because, you know, it's not just like test taking and going to class. You got to go practice.
Yeah, you have to go practice fast.
So they make you always do some type of clinical work when you're in like medical, some type of medical program. So I was doing all three. So there's always been three things that I've been working on.
Fire.
And I was doing vocal lessons. So that was four.
Well, that's what's up. Let's talk about it. Let's talk about your music.
Yeah, let's talk about
it. You know what I mean?
Music.
Before we head into, you know, the next segment.
Yeah, I'm sorry. That dragged
real quick, you know, I saw your look. I want to talk about Shy, your producer. What's the relationship like there? Like, how'd you meet him? Because I hear a drop at the beginning of one of your songs. Is it Shy or?
Oh, that's the rap song.
Yeah.
Right?
But he didn't produce the other track. Somebody else
No,
did.
He didn't produce other tracks. So and that producers. One I actually got online.
Copy.
So that track I leased.
Okay.
I've worked with maybe 3 or 4 producers that I can think of from the top of my head that I've just known coincidentally over the years. And one of them is Son. That's his name, Beats by Son. He is one of the people who I feel like worked with the original Latin trap that came from like Uptown.
Copy.
And so somebody put
like
me on
Cali Goya type of
Yes,
sound.
He was working
Copy.
With those people.
Copy.
When those songs
like
started. Yeah. So they're from my hood.
Yeah,
see,
all from
all
up
of them.
There, right? Yeah,
I'm from
there,
135th. Yeah. They're all from like 134, 140 something, 150 something. So I'm from that neighborhood. Yeah. And so Beats by Son started giving me stuff, right? And I saw that he would put his stuff on BeatStars. So I was like, oh, hold on. So I don't have to bother people all the time or like pay $200-$300 for, you know, a track. Let me just go on BeatStars. And that's how I got that beat. So I also sometimes lease them. So I do have people who give me stuff or, you know, want to work and sell me stuff. But sometimes if I don't have time to like go through people's stuff or ask them for stuff, I just like, you know, go to that website. And when I heard that, like when I heard that beat, I was actually with Oni, Honesty, the guy who came
and videographer.
My videographer who did the He's fucking talented. He's
a
amazing.
Beast, man. Yeah, definitely.
He
Shout
has
out
musical
him.
Talent, too. And I love when people have that musical talent, even if they're not an artist, because you can have like an ear for music
Facts.
Or a taste or something. And that helps us artists or musicians or whatever, like tap into it more. So when I heard that beat, I had just came from recording a cover, because that's how I also started like putting it out there, my cover songs. So I was like, I didn't know if I was like a real good lyricist, and I've been still working on it, but I do get those lyrics sometimes and I'm like, that's it, that's a hit, you feel me? So I'm like, in the meantime, let me just do cover songs, because I'm not gonna let that, you know,
practice,
get in the
practice,
way
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I'm not gonna not record because I don't know what to say.
And there's a website that one of my artists has been on the program before, where you could actually lease legally the samples and the beats as well. Like, if you want, like, oh, yeah, you can. You could actually take the song and monetize off of it.
Wow.
Yeah,
that's fire.
I forgot what he told me what the website was. I'll tell you.
I'm definitely gonna like to look into that. Definitely.
Happy.
Yeah, we were listening to that beat, and I don't know this person. I just, like, leased his beat for, like, $50. And it gives you, like, a right to it. Like, if you have a certain amount of, what's it called?
Streams or views.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm still, like, nowhere near that amount. So, it's valid.
Yeah, well, you're building towards that. But you got to learn that stuff. I hope that you're taking it. Are you taking your time out to learn how the music business is working in 2024?
Like, little by little, yeah.
Every day,
I do a little bit of everything.
All right,
you know what I'm saying?
What's up. Yeah, because it's baby steps. Yeah,
every day I do a little bit of everything.
But you're starting off great, though. That's the way you build. Well, Big April, we've reached a point in the podcast where it's time to play.
Play what?
Five words with Angel.
Do I have five words in my head?
Yo, Five Words with Angel is sponsored by Eyes of the Soul. It's on Barnes & Nobles and at Amazon.com.
I've been looking for a book to read.
You can have this copy. You can have this one. I'll give it to you. You can have that one. I'll buy another one and promote that. Brian J. Segura is in the building. BJS Photography. Thank you so much. Doing the thing behind the scenes, you know? Now, Big April, on Five Words with Angel, I'm going to give you a word, a phrase, or a question.
Oh, my God. I always said I was going to suck at celebrity games.
And you're going to give me the first word that comes to your head. Are you ready?
Let's go. I'm
going to keep it easy on you.
Please do. Right.
The first word is la funda.
I knew money was going to be involved. La funda, the motherfucking bag.
Okay. I like that.
Words. Four words. Right. The motherfucking words. It's all right. Bag.
That's the
motherfucking bag. Okay, that's one.
The next one is a question, right? So this is going to be more than one word, right? In high school, what was your most the most embarrassing moment?
In high school, my most embarrassing moment? I have to say that in a word?
No, you can't say that in a word. I said you could actually do a sentence and whatever, explain what happened. I'll tell you mine if you want.
Damn, I'm going to seem like a criminal.
Wow, what happened? What you did?
I'm going to just seem like a criminal at this point. If I keep telling all my juicy little secrets.
Yo, you ain't lying. Don't worry.
God, it's going to be embarrassing. Do I want to say how embarrassing? Because I think I've had a few embarrassing. This is the juiciest.
Okay.
Because I never slipped and fell.
That happened to me. That's my most embarrassing
yeah,
moment.
Yeah, that is everybody's most embarrassing moment is to trip and fall.
I fell in front of the whole senior class on the final day of yearbook day. In front of everyone. It was raining and I fell all the way down the steps.
I know everybody remembers that.
It was over. Everybody.
Do all your friends remember that?
Of course. I went to the 10-year, 20-year high school reunion. They still talk about it.
Nah, you made history.
I made history, man.
It is what it is. Unfortunately. Good or bad, but you made history.
Y la tuya. You can keep it light.
Oh, my God. I didn't have that type of embarrassing moment. I did have a little run-in with the law.
Okay.
And that embarrassed me.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
That embarrassed me because there were people. I wasn't at school. I was by my school. And people saw what happened. So people were talking about me getting arrested and, you know, my parents. And, oh, my God, it was just so embarrassing. But, yes. So just a little running with the law. That was my most embarrassing moment. Yeah. I never had a bad fall or stains or...
It looks like you have hand-eye coordination. You know, you are Dominican. You guys are great at baseball, you know?
I did play softball.
Oh, yeah. Sure you did. You seem like the type that plays
softball. You see the legs.
That's hilarious. All right. The next word is La República Dominicana.
Qué bonita bandera.
I love it.
Oh, that's actually, I performed first time ever in DR.
Fire. Okay.
I was 7 years old.
Nice.
7 years old, and my family was at a resort. We always used to go for the summertime. And I remember, like, they would do these, like, performances with, like, the big costumes. And everybody would be in line. And I just remember, like, yo, I want to do that. Like, how do I get, like, how do I become that? Like, I just remember this one lady, and she was just, like, this beautiful person. That's and I was fire. Just like, how can I do that? Like, that's where I need to be. And I couldn't contain myself. I went up to the lady, aside from the performance, and I was just like, I want to do that. And she was like, you want to do that? Let's do it. And fire. I was like, what? Hell yeah. And she took me. She was like, okay, come back tomorrow. Or like, yeah, it was like, come back tomorrow at this time. I went with one of my little cousins named Yayita. We went to where she told me to go. She picked the costume. I had no words planned, no song planned, no dance planned. I didn't know what the hell I was going to do. I just know I went to where she told me to go, and I went. She gave me a costume similar to the one I had a little bit, because it was latex, and in the bottom it had like the ruffles.
Fire, you know? Okay.
And back out, arms out, 7 years old. I didn't know what the hell we were planning on doing, but I was like, I'm doing it. They gave me a song I knew. They're like, what song you know? And they, you know, it was a lip sync performance, yeah, actually. But that's what I think about. When you said DR, to me, it brings me back to my true nature.
I love that. I love that.
And I did the thing. They brought me out with these two strong men. They carried me out, did the whole movie, sat me in the front of the stage. And that was it.
So.
Yeah, that was it.
No, may not be.
And then I never did that shit again. Saved my life.
Shout out to the boys at Pereo Saved My Life. You already know the vibes. And the fifth and final word is Big April. What was the first thought that comes to you? The first word that comes to you when you think Big April?
The motherfucking biggest.
Motherfucking biggest.
Yeah, I'm sorry that I'm cursing so much.
No, it's all right, Miss Big April. Don't worry.
It's not commercial.
We don't usually curse that much on the podcast. So, you know, we keep it clean. They know it's because we're animated. We're having a good conversation. We're having a good time. But, you know, we usually don't get outlandish here on the podcast. Unless it's a real combo. So, Mira, you know, could you give the people, right, before we end the podcast, could you look into these two cameras right here? Because we're rocking with two today. Right? Give the people a message, man, that want to be artists, man. A message of inspiration for 2024.
Definitely. Definitely. I mean, I would say this. If I would be speaking to myself, just do it. But be true to yourself. And don't think about how. Just do it. Just put it out into the universe and work your best at it. Do not, even if you don't feel your best, but you know you got something, just do it. Ain't no telling where it's going to take you.
There you have it, folks. Just do it. The final message from Big April on this day. Big April, thank you so much
thank
for joining
you
us today on the Angel of the Words podcast. Everybody, stay tuned, because at the end of this podcast, you know what the vibes are. We're going to be hearing Big April's song, I Saw Your Look Here. Killing multiple angles. BJS is in the building. We're going to be doing big things in 2024. So stay tuned to that. Don't forget to subscribe to the channel on YouTube at Angel of Words ENT. Follow us on Spotify and all the podcast platforms. Shout out to Curtis Holmes and Eyes of the Soul. Go get that book. BJS Photography. Go get them photos, because if you don't, you're wilding. Make your Instagram, make all your socials look official. All right. And, you know, in the shenanigans, you know, go to AOWENT.com and, you know, follow us at Angel of Words ENT.com. I mean, at Angel of Words ENT on the socials. Thank you, everybody. Te quiero, Puerto Rico. Santa Isabel.
Ciao.
Live from the Angel of Words studios, we have Harlem's finest, Big April, with I Saw Your Look.
I saw your look. It had me shook the way your eyes.
Everyone, that was Big April when I saw your look. Killing it here on the Angel of Words podcast. You know what it is. Watch her stuff. Catch on all the streaming platforms. Where again, April?
Everyone, Apple Music, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube Music, everywhere.
You know what it is. Te quiero, Puerto Rico. Santa Isabel.
Santo Domingo, en la casa.